You may be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text before us today is taken from Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, and we pick up about halfway into that parable after the son has already done his carousing and now he's looking longingly back toward home. So we start with Luke chapter 15, verse 17. And when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate." So far the words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, exactly 10 months ago, my father died. And I think about him every day. And when I'm with my three brothers, we often talk about my father. And we've come to the conclusion that my father was a very hard man to understand. Just some things about him didn't quite add up like you might expect. So, for example, my father in his younger years was in the Navy in World War II in the South Pacific, and yet later on he never really talked about it. He wasn't traumatized, it's just he didn't think it was worthy of talking about at that point. My father spent his career working in a paper mill and then in various sawmills, and yet he never once swore. He never made a big deal of it, he just didn't swear. I remember my dad as a couch potato when he would get home, and yet you hand my dad a chainsaw and he could flat out cut wood. My dad smoked a pipe most of his life, and when we had to put him into the nursing home, they said, "You can't smoke anymore," and dad said, "Okay," handed him his pipe, never smoked, never seemed to crave it thereafter, never seemed to miss it. There's just some things about my father that were very hard to understand. But if there were some things hard for me to understand about my biological father, there are really some things that are hard for me to understand about my other father. And here I'm talking about my heavenly father. The words of our text are simply about the heavenly father. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. It's really not. It's the parable to try to better understand the heavenly father. The background of this parable is this. Some of the Pharisees were muttering against Jesus because he welcomes sinners and he eats with them. And so Jesus spoke this parable so they might understand the mindset of God the Father. So, think of yourself as a father for a few minutes and try to understand what was taking place when your son went off and went astray. So these are the situations, the circumstances. This young man, your son, had every single thing going for him in life. He had a good family. He had a good home. He had friends. He had an environment that was really very loving. A perfect environment, and yet this boy had an itch. He just had to get away. He had to shake off the confinements. He wanted freedom. He wanted to do whatever he wanted to do and whenever he wanted to do it. And so he got from his father all the money he possibly could get his hands on, and he took off. And from then on, it was all about him. He was not about to defer any gratification, any pleasure out there. He wanted it, and he wanted it now. And he caroused, and he ran with the wrong crowd, and he drugged the family name through the mud. He did about everything wrong you can possibly think of. Well, that's the boy. Now, I said, put yourself into the shoes of the father. What would you do at that point when you're standing outside and then from a long distance you see him start to approach the house once again? I've given this some thought, and I'm trying to think about how I would respond in similar circumstance if I were that father. And I have a pretty good idea it would have been something like this. As soon as I see that boy, my son, approach, the first thing that would go on in my mind is this. He ran out of money and he's come back for more. It ain't going to happen this time. Another thought might come to my mind, and that would be this. He has squandered. He has absolutely depleted all of his resources. He has nowhere to go, nobody to turn to. So that's the only reason that he's crawling back here, is because he has no place else to go. And as soon as that son, my son, came up to me and went through his little speech, I would probably say, you're right. Things aren't going to be like they were before. We can't go back there. History can't repeat itself. You can't go back. Let me tell you this. If you're going to be in my house from now on, you're going to be on probation. You're going to have to earn your way back into this family. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, that may sound a little bit harsh, but wouldn't you have some of these thoughts running through your mind? Or if that boy had been your brother, wouldn't you have some similar thoughts that dad should have in his mind and certain actions that he should employ at that point? Well, what does this father actually do? He sees the boy coming from a distance, and immediately tears well up in his eyes. Compassion fills his heart. Old as he is, he starts running towards his son. He doesn't even let his son get into his speech before he gives him a great big bear hug and a kiss. And then the boy goes through the speech, and the dad says, quick, quick, quick. And he calls that the best clothes in the house be put on that son. And then he says, get a ring and put it on his finger. A ring is kind of like a class ring. You know, it identifies you with the group. He wants a ring put on the son's finger so everybody will know this is my son. And he says, put sandals on his feet. Slaves went barefoot. Free men wore sandals. He's free. He's not a slave. You'd have to say that the father's actions are characterized by unconditional and instantaneous love. That's a little hard to understand from my perspective as a sinful human being. So what is Jesus doing in this parable? He is describing the mindset of his father, God the Father, as he sees the repentant sinner. He is giving us a little glimpse into the divine nature as he sees us, repentant sinners. Have you ever sinned against your family, yourself, and your God? Have you ever been enticed by the pleasures of this world and wanted gratification outside of marriage, or to be free and do things that college students are characterized as doing all the time? Do you have a sin that kind of gnaws deep on you and you can't quite get it out of your mind, and sometimes you can't sleep because of it? Do you ever have that feeling that maybe God just has had it with you? He wants no part of you. He's not going to take you back. It's over. It's finished. Well, if you ever have those thoughts, if you ever entertain those notions in your mind, then this parable, Jesus is speaking directly to you. He says, wait, you don't understand the Heavenly Father. Let me tell you about that Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father sent Jesus Christ into this world to live the life that none of us prodigals could ever live. And he did it for us, so we get credit for it. And God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer the pain of hell itself and endure the pain of the cross so we wouldn't have to pay for our sinfulness. And when God sees that repentant sinner, you and me, he just wells up with compassion and joy. It's a time for celebration. Kill the fatted calf. Let's rejoice. Family is family once again. Your sins are forgiven. You are my own, he says. Unconditional, instantaneous. That's the kind of Father we have. I may not be able to understand the mind of God, but I understand what he tells us. And oh, what a wonderful Father we have, who forgives us our sins and welcomes us back home. Amen. We pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our God, for having compassion on us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Help us always to stay close to you and by your side and enjoy the blessings which you give us, both in this life and in the life to come. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with and abide with us all. Depart in peace. Amen.